You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you've been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night, it's true. I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You are not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS.
I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night, it's true.
I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear you whisper you have nothing left.
I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night.
Good morning, church. Thanks for tuning in to our online sermon this morning. We're so glad you're here.
Yes, we are doing some really great ways to get connected. And right now we are looking for life group leaders.
Yeah.
A life group is a time where you get together maybe with 8, 10, 15 people and you do life together.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting a new sermon series in mid-October and it's going to be called Forward. And the whole idea is, how do you move forward in this crazy, uncertain time?
Yeah.
And we go back to the basics of what God has called us to do in the Bible. So it's going to be a great time. It's going to be 4 weeks that we're doing this. It's going to be an all-church emphasis, so it's all campuses. All of our life groups are going to be learning and studying the same things. So if you're interested in hosting a life group, we've made it very easy for you. We've got some training coming up. But we'd love for you to sign up to be a life group leader. And you can do that via our online app or our website, and we'll throw a link here right now. We're also going to be doing something really fun, and it's watch parties.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't all be at church together at the same time, and that is a bummer.
Yeah,
we love being together. We love seeing your faces.
Yeah.
So we thought, how can we create community when we can't all be together? And one of the best ways we came up with was, why don't you do church together at home? You can watch our live stream together, invite your family, invite your friends, neighbors, whoever God's put on your heart. So if you're interested in hosting a watch party, you can also sign up online for that on our app or our website.
Those are going to be great. I can't wait. Church, you guys are always so generous, and I want to thank you for that. And this winter, we are going to be collecting coats for men, women, and children, all sizes. That starts this week. Check out the website for drop-off locations. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an awesome cause, and we're excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, you guys always show up in such a powerful way, and we really feel like this is just going to be a great thing for our community and those who need it the most.
Absolutely.
It can be brand new. It can be gently used. Maybe you have some coats that your kids outgrew. But yes, find more information on the website for that. And also, there's two ways to give. The first is our Christchurch Ohio app, and then the second is our Christchurch Ohio website. Now we're going to go ahead and go live right into service, so I hope you enjoy.
So in mid-October, we're going to start a lot of groups and love for you to get connected with that. And if God's put it on your heart this year to lead one, man, we would love to have you lead one. You can talk to me, sign up after service, sign up online. But I think, you know, in such a disconnected world, it's so very important. So, hey, our online audience is tuning in right now. Can we welcome them? We love you guys. Hope you're doing well. Let's see who's watching today. No family members. They were all 9:30. Those always pop up first. But anyway, well, let me say a prayer and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for these amazing people. Would you bless us now, Lord? Help us to see the blessing that is right in front of us. And Lord, I pray our lives could be shaped by it. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are finishing our Something Better series. So we've been looking through the book of Hebrews, and we've been using it as a guide to say, how can we focus on something better in days like we're in, where there's a lot of negative stuff to focus on? There's a lot of ugly stuff to focus on. There's a lot of things to focus on that aren't really, really productive. And Hebrews has kind of been guiding us to say there's something better to fill our hearts and our minds and our souls with. And I don't know about you, but this year, you know, these last 6 months, 7 months, I kind of have this internal dialogue going on where I keep telling myself, like, this has been such a bad year. You know, there's so many things that haven't gone right, and you know, there's so many things that got changed or that we missed out on. And what I began to realize is I'm kind of telling myself these things all the time. And then when I talk to people, it just kind of comes out. I'm like, yeah, it's been so tough and so bad. And so there's this constant narrative going on in my mind about how bad this year has been. And certainly there's been bad things, right? No one's gonna argue with me on that point today, right? I don't think you are. Is anyone going to argue with me online on that? I feel like that's a fair point. But the other day, I was looking at my cell phone, and I got one of those messages that I needed to clear some storage space on it. You ever get those? Too many pictures? No. Cool. Well, I got an iPhone 6, so it happens a lot. And don't be judging me, all right? Because this thing still can get the job done. In fact, probably like 8-9 months ago, I read this book about technology, and I went out and I bought a flip phone. I promise you. I was like, I'm cutting out technology from my life. Now, here's the thing. You think T9 is fast? If you know what I'm talking about, the texting, how we used to text back in the day, some of you know what I'm saying here? It's not fast. It takes an hour. I would start sweating every time someone texted me on the flip phone. So I lasted 3 days. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but I thought you might be interested. So I was going through my phone, and I was looking for pictures to delete to create some more storage space. And I was, you know, going back and looking, and I saw some pictures from last summer. And we had my cousin and his family in, and they stayed with us for 2 weeks, and we just had a phenomenal time. And I was like, Allie, was that last summer? I was like, wasn't that like 5 years ago? 2 lifetimes ago? It feels like that might have been, you know, when the dinosaurs roamed around that this happened. She's like, no, that was last summer. I was like, that was an amazing time. That was only a year ago? She's like, yeah. And then I was kind of going through some more, and I saw like some cute Emory pictures, and I was like, that was just last fall. And I went through and I saw all these great memories. And I said to her, I was like, you know what? This hasn't been as horrible of a year as I've been telling myself. There's been a lot of great things that have happened. There's a lot of great family memories that we have. There's a lot of cool moments. And, you know, we went to a good friend's wedding in Arizona. And it was great. And I was like, why do I keep telling myself it's all bad when that's not the full story? Because the unfortunate side of it is, because that's been my narrative, I haven't been able to realize and recognize and appreciate the great blessings that have actually happened. Not because they're not there, but because I haven't been able to focus on them. Not because they didn't happen and weren't right in front of me, but because my attention was consumed by something else. You with me on this, church? And I believe that's the interesting thing about blessings, is you can have a lot of blessings in your life and still not feel blessed. You can have God do some really meaningful, good things in your life and still walk around feeling miserable. Because although they're right in front of you and right in front of me, our attention is turned somewhere else. You with me on this, church? And so today, I want to talk about the blessings that are right in front of us. We're going to look at the end of Hebrews today, and it ends with a blessing. And it's a blessing for the people who originally read this letter, but it's also a blessing for us. But like so many other blessings, it can be right in front of us, but until we choose to reach out and grab it, only then will it actually be meaningful in our lives. Only when we can see it for what it is, when we can reach out and hold on to it, will we experience it and see it as a blessing. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And let me read it to you. Here's how it goes. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a beautiful blessing, isn't it? I love the pictures that are in this, the ideas that are brought forth, and it's a blessing that I believe today can be real in our lives. So I want to share 3 aspects of this today. I want to talk about why we need a blessing like this, why he's not just offering this as a nice thing to say, but he's offering it to them because he knows they need it. And today, I think all of us need it too. And then I'm going to talk about what the blessing is. We're going to explain it a little bit, and then how to experience it. Because again, it can be there, and we cannot experience it, because our attention and our heart is focused other places. So we're going to talk about the need for it, what it is, the blessing itself, and then how to experience it. So the need for it. Now let me give you the bad news up front. Whenever someone says to you, do you want the good news or bad news? What do you say? I always say, give me the bad news. I'd rather have the dessert after you make me eat kale, you know? Everything comes back to food with me, if you haven't noticed. Amen. So here's the bad news. Here's why we need a blessing. We need a blessing because life is a problem we cannot solve. It's a problem we cannot solve. What I mean by that is that all of us are going to go through experiences, we're going to have moments, we're going to have situations that we can't figure out on our own. And what tends to happen in those moments is 2 things. We either go outside of ourselves or we go inside of ourselves. And when we go inside of ourselves, we will become discouraged, frustrated, overwhelmed, and broken by the challenge that is before us. Because in many ways, there is always going to be something in life that overwhelms us. That's just bigger than who we are, than our gifts and our abilities and our intelligence, than our network, than all these types of things. And it can be so many things, but life will always present us a problem we can't solve. That's the bad news. End of sermon. Let's pray. We'll always face those moments. And what happens is that we face an unsolvable problem and we become consumed by it. And it attracts all of our attention and our emotional well-being and our inner peace, and we get run down by it. I love one author, Ashley Evans. She says this: the most destructive power of fear is in the subtle ability to redirect attention from God to something else. That's the real power. That I get consumed with the mess that's happening, the problem I can't solve, the obstacle before me, and then that becomes all that I see. I can't see anything else. I have tunnel vision with the mess. And the danger of life is just staying in that spot. But here's what I think the mess is meant to do. It's meant to make us realize, all right, this is bigger than me. Therefore, I need a blessing. I need help outside of me. I need God. I need the one who is bigger than my mess and is able to find a way to bless me in the midst and through and overcoming this obstacle. So this is why this is so important. Instead of being overcome by the messes in our lives, we're meant to be driven to a God that blesses. Instead of being overcome by the messes, we're meant to be driven to a God that blesses. See, that even rhymes. So it's got to be true. It's got to be right. If it rhymes, it's there. And what we have to see is that these moments are not moments that God is allowing to just break us down, but they're moments where the light is flashing on the dashboard and God is saying, you've hit your limit. Now it's time to connect to me. You've hit that wall. You're not meant to get over this wall on your own. We need to do this together. And so I want to, one, normalize those feelings of just being overwhelmed and facing obstacles that we can't figure out. That's actually part of how God designed life. We can't win it on our own. But here's the beauty. You were never meant to. I was never meant to. When that happens, when I hit that moment, it's a moment not to panic, but to say, I need blessing from God. I need help from God. I need to do this with God. And the mess is meant to drive me into God in a deeper way. You with me on this, church? And so that's why we need it. Now let's talk about the blessing itself, because there's so much power in this text. And let me just read it to you one more time. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now let's unpack this blessing. It begins with the God of peace. May the God of peace do this. And the first part of the blessing is that we have a God who brings internal and external peace into our lives and into our world. I was talking to Allie this week, and she was telling me about a meeting that she had at work. She works at Southwest Hospital, and they had some of the mental health people there and some of the rehab, drugs, and alcohol people, and they were kind of just giving an update to her floor. And they said that during this crisis, their numbers have skyrocketed. The opioid numbers have gone 50% higher than the highest peak they had ever had before. Said mental health numbers skyrocketing. They said they're seeing more cases and more issues than they ever have before in the hospital's history, and even more than that. And they said, and we don't think this is the peak. We think it might actually go a little bit higher than that. And you know, that was a great reminder to me how important peace is to the human soul. See, what are we looking for in drugs, in alcohol, in self-destructive habits? Many times we're looking for peace. We're looking to get away from the pain. We're looking to escape the problems. We're looking for relief. And what we see in this verse is that we don't have to go to some substance and we don't have to implode our lives to find peace. God has it. He is the God of peace. And wherever we're drawn to find it in a place that we know is going to ruin us, is the absolute wrong path, because God wants to give the blessing of peace to our lives, and we don't have to destroy our lives and our livelihood and our families in the process of finding it. You with me, church? And he says he has it. He is the God of peace. Here's the second blessing in this, is that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. And I love that image, and it's this image of daily leadership. See, we have a God who isn't just totally removed from your life and my life. We have a God who is accessible, who is with us, who cares about the details of your life that you care about. One of the things that Jesus teaches us is that our smallest concerns, the things that maybe you would not bother anybody else about, you can bother God about. He's not too big. He's not too distant that he doesn't care. The things in your life that you're worried about, that you think no one cares about, God cares about. And he wants to help you and help me. And then the big things that we're all worried about, we feel free talking about, God cares about those too. And that he's the great shepherd of the sheep means that he will lead us in a very tangible, in a very real way through all of these things. See, what I love about this is it's a reminder, I don't have to figure out life all by myself. I don't have to face these crazy situations and say, well, where do I go from here? I have a great shepherd who will say, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. Let me walk with you through this tough time. Let me show you a better way. And I can find a great blessing and allowing his leadership to influence the small details and the large things in my life and guide me to a better place. It's a blessing. We need someone to help us navigate life, and we have a great shepherd. Here's the third thing. It says, by the blood of the eternal covenant. Now, that sounds kind of crazy and real spiritual and all this kind of thing, but here's what it ultimately means. A covenant is a contract. And when you sign a contract in blood, you're not messing around. Maybe some of you, when you were little, did you ever have a blood brother? It's a weird, dumb thing. Young boy, don't ask me why we do that. It's completely unsafe, but sky's for you. But it's a serious commitment. To each other, because blood is kind of, we would say that's the highest form of showing you're serious about it. And what this means is that God is serious about you and about me. He is so committed to you that he sealed the deal in blood. He sealed the deal in the most serious way that he could. And what that means is that God's commitment to you is not based on your commitment to him. God is not looking and saying, well, I'll commit to you as much as you commit to me. I'll be for you and involved in your life as much as you are involved in what's happening in my kingdom and my purpose, and we'll just kind of play this game back and forth. And I am so thankful that that's not the way God operates. But God is for you even when you turn your back on him. Even when you fail him. Even when you step off of his path and you roll down the hill and you hit 11 trees on your way down and 2 thorn bushes and you knew what you were doing the whole time. You knew you were being an idiot, but you didn't care. Guess what? When you pick yourself up at the bottom of that hill, God is there. And he loves you. And nothing in his heart has changed towards you. He's not there to berate you and to beat you down and to kick you while you're down, but to forgive you and to help you get back up and to help you find healing and to lead you in a better way. There is a beautiful blessing in that. Everyone else in this world might turn their back on you, but God never will. He never will. He is eternally committed to you and me. Now, you might not think that's a great idea, but that's the God that we have. You and I would give up on each other way sooner, but God will never give up on you or on me. And it's a blessing. And then he says, he is the one that equips us for every good work to do his will. See, part of the blessing that God wants to bring into our lives is to equip us, to give us the tools and the ability to do something meaningful with our lives. See, some of us, we're not experiencing any sense of blessing in life because we're living a selfish life. See, what's so ironic is that you think a selfish life is going to make you happy. You know, where you set all the rules, you do what you want to do, you treat people as you want, you pursue your own agenda, and you put you as the highest priority. But you know what? In the end, it leaves you completely empty. In fact, you're more empty than when you started the journey in the first place. Because that whole selfish game is a complete lie. But what God wants to do is he wants to use the uniqueness of who you are, the uniqueness of his work in your life and in my life to prepare us to do a good work that blesses other people. See, the blessings of God are never meant to end just with us. God doesn't want to pour blessing into your life just for you. That's part of it. But he also wants to pour blessing into your life so that you can then take that and bless other people. So you can do good. And God says, I want to equip you and prepare you to live a life that matters in the most important way. And you know, I think if you've ever felt like my life doesn't matter, my life doesn't have a purpose, my life, God couldn't use me, I'm too messed up, I'm too broken, I'm to this or to that, I want you to know that is an absolute lie. God has this blessing for all of us who are open to it. And your life matters. Your life is eternally important. And God has a unique purpose and a unique mission for you. And part of the way he's going to bless you is by helping you understand that and live it out and do something uniquely good in the world. And it's an awesome thing. And then the last part of this blessing is that he wants to work in us that which is pleasing in his sight. See, sometimes the most profound blessing that God gives to your life is not the winning lottery ticket, although I wouldn't be opposed to that. Lord, I would like to see how difficult it is to be really, really rich. Anyway, that's not the most profound blessing. Sometimes the most profound blessing he can give us is by changing our character, our soul, who we are in the deep parts of our heart. See, we always want God to change what's happening around us. We always want God to change our circumstances. We want God to change our career or our health or where we live or all these types of things. And it's okay to want that. It's okay to pray through all those sorts of things. But the thing that God is most concerned about is your soul. That's what he's most concerned about. I know we're most concerned about our happiness. Like, God, just make my life so I can have complete happiness. But God is most concerned about making your soul healthy, about making our soul formed into the image of Jesus Christ. And the greatest blessing that God can give us is that deep soul transformation. And he says, I want to work in you that which is pleasing in my sight. I want to make you more of who I've prepared and called you to be in this world. And I want to give you that blessing. So that's some of the blessing. But now let me just spend a couple minutes and talk about how to experience this blessing. Because like I said, you can know it, you can understand it, but you can be so focused on other things that we never actually experience it. So how do we experience this blessing? I want to give you four ideas from Dan Ryland. He's a great pastor and author, and he has four ideas about this. And here's the first one. The first way that we can experience this blessing is growing our desire for God. Right now, I want you to just audit your heart, and I want you to think, where is my desire for God level at? I know how to desire all kinds of things. I know how to desire good food and going to cool places and desire friendship and people in my life, but is there a desire for God in my life? Because when I grow that, then the challenges of life and the frustrations of life will always push me more into God than away from God. Because I'll see God as the solution, as what I need, not what I need to run from. And so today, I want you to look in your heart and say, where's my desire for God? Not just God to bless my life and do everything that I want him to do, but my desire just to be the man he wants me to be. My desire to be with him, to do what's right in his sight, and to serve him with my whole heart. And many times, if I'm honest, my desire can get pretty low. I'm focused on all kinds of other things. But when I truly desire God, I reconnect to the blessing that's right in front of me. Here's the second thing that he says is surrender your will. The most miserable place to be is where we have one foot committed to Christ and one foot committed to our own thing. And you're kind of straddling that line. You got one foot in the kingdom of light and one foot in the kingdom of darkness. You know this is where you need to be, but you're not ready to step out of where you are. And so you're always trying to balance these competing poles in your soul, and it drives us insane. I know I've tried to do it, and I'm just kind of fighting because I want both. I want my cake, and I want to eat it too. I want the blessing of God, but then I want to do whatever I want. I want to be who God wants me to be, but I also want to be in control. I want what God wants, but then I want a lot of stuff God doesn't want. And surrender is where we just quit playing that game. And we say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm for you. Whatever you want, wherever you want, whatever you're calling me to do, I'm in. And we surrender all that we are, all that we have, to his purpose. And if you have never done that, then I encourage you to do that this morning, to just give your life 100% to Jesus Christ. Say, I'm surrendering to you. Because whatever we surrender to him, we find great blessing in. When we try to hold on to everything, we try to hold it away from God, we actually end up losing it and messing it up. But when we give everything to Christ, he takes it and he does something beautiful with it. Surrender. Here's the third thing he says is connect to the vine. And this is an idea from John 15 where Jesus was speaking to some of his disciples. And he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And your fruit will abide and it will be an awesome thing. And this idea is, I need to desire God, I need to surrender to him, but I also need to nurture that relationship. Right? When you get married and you stand in front of everybody and, you know, you tell your spouse, I love you, I'm committed to you in sickness and in health and all these type of things, then if you don't build on that commitment can go south real quick, right? If your whole marriage strategy is, well, we committed to each other 20 years ago, what more do I need to do? It's a relationship that needs nurtured, right? It's a relationship that needs worked on. That commitment isn't enough. It's the beginning point. But then that has to be deepened. It needs to mature. It needs to be developed. We got to hang out. We've got to talk. We've got to overcome obstacles. You know, they have to begin to see the world my way, and it just makes everything so much easier. That's a little marriage joke there. We'll talk later about that. And we have to nurture the relationship. And the same way with our relationship with God. We commit, but then we have to build it. We have to spend time with him. We have to communicate. We have to allow him to continue to shape who we are. And that takes effort every day. It's a relationship that needs constant attention. And so we have to put that into it. Maybe part of our lack of experiencing blessing is we've just daily been disconnected to God. I know all of our life rhythms have just gotten turned upside down, flipped around, thrown in the washer, and spun on their head. And so I know maybe some of us, we had rhythms where we were connecting to God, but now life's just been totally changed. But you know, now's the time to establish some new rhythms. Now's the time to find a way to connect to God personally, daily, to nurture that commitment and that relationship so we can experience the blessing of who he is that's right in front of us. And then the last thing he says is practice your attentiveness and resolve to obey. In other words, the idea here is that as I walk with God, I just kind of want to constantly be aware, where am I at? When I feel myself overwhelmed, instead of just leaning into that, it's a sign. It's a red flashing light that says, all right, Chet, you need to reconnect to God. You need to go back to him. That there's been a disconnect. There's been an absence. There's an obstacle in your way. So instead of keep going that way, it's time to change course. And so we become attentive to what's happening in our soul. When I start to get irritable and crabby and mad at everyone, it's a good sign that the problem isn't actually everyone. The problem is me. The problem is maybe I'm drifting. Maybe I've lost sight. Maybe there's a tug of war going on in my soul, and being attentive to it. And then just resolving to follow wherever Christ leads you. Just obey. For some of us, maybe we're not experiencing a sense of blessing from God because we're living in a way that we know is in disobedience. He's calling us to do something. He's calling us to be something. He's calling us away from something, and we're fighting him on it. And one of the easiest ways to really rob your sense of a sense of blessing is to disobey what God is asking us to do. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it feels like a big step, but here's what I know. Every step of obedience is a step towards blessing. Whatever God is calling us to do, there's a reason for it. It might not make sense in the moment, but it will make sense in the long run. He can be trusted. He's the good shepherd. He can be trusted. He's the God of peace. He can be trusted. He's the one that wants to equip you and work in you. And so whatever he is speaking into our lives, I want to take serious. I want to act on it. And I want to step in obedience because that is the path to blessing. If you feel like you're in a mess today, and you don't have to be in a full-out mess. Maybe you feel like you're 25% there, 15% there. You know you're on the path. Then today, could we just reconnect to this great God that we have? Could we reconnect to the blessing of who he is and what he wants to do in our lives? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who wants to bless us in powerful and significant ways. Father, your blessings don't always come as we would create them or prepare them, but Lord, they come exactly as they need to be. And Father, I pray that we could experience it in a fresh way, Lord. For those of us who feel like we're in a mess, we feel overwhelmed, maybe we're just broken and beat down by it, I pray today we could have hope. We could have hope that this mess isn't the full story. The full story is that you're the God who blesses in spite of this. I pray we could be driven towards you. We could connect to you. We could be renewed. We could be strengthened. And your work could continue in us and through us. Bless these good people, Lord. Help us to see you as a God worthy to be praised. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Church, thanks for tuning in today. What a sermon from Pastor Beatler.
Yeah.
Awesome job, Chet.
He loves being called Pastor Beatler. I like to call him Rev Beats.
Yeah, Rev Beats, definitely.
Yeah, it's always like he's speaking right to our hearts.
It is.
You know, what's really cool when I think about this sermon is how incredibly great God is.
Yeah.
But how easy it is to lose that in this time.
So easy.
How easy it is to focus on the bad or the ugly or the craziness.
Yeah.
If you're human, that's totally happening right now.
Definitely. Yeah, no doubt.
You've got your good days, but there's days where it's just like, it's nuts.
Yeah, and so Chet did a great job of reminding us of the goodness of God today. And so this week, when your mind wants to go to that negative thought,
yeah,
let's just challenge ourselves to replace that thought with some of the thoughts about how good God is.
That's right.
And see if that doesn't change our perspective.
Yeah, there's a God who loves you. There's a God who's for you. And just how absolutely amazing he is.
No doubt.
All right, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.